Welcome everyone. I am Luca, a PhD candidate at the Center for Law and Economics here at ETH Zurich. And I'm super excited today because we get the chance to talk to Professor Kevin Davis. Kevin Davis is the Beller Family Professor of Business Law at New York University. His research and teaching concerns the relationship between law and economic development, with a particular emphasis on anti-corruption law, business law, and the measurement of the performance of legal systems. And today we will talk about his recent paper, "Did the Global South Have Their Say in EU Supply Chain Regulation?" Welcome, Professor Davis.
Thank you, Luca. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we delve deep into the discussion of the paper, why don't you give us a brief summary of the background and of the paper itself?
The paper is about an EU instrument called the Corporate Sustainability and Due Diligence Directive. That directive will require the member states to enact legislation that allows companies to be held liable for human rights violations in their supply chains. And the thing about that that interests me is that it's likely to have a significant effect on a lot of developing countries, a lot of countries in the global south, because it will affect their ability to sell goods that ultimately end up in the European market. And so what we've done in the paper is to look at the process that led up to the adoption of the directive and to see whether countries or people from countries in the global south participated in the consultation process that led up to the formulation of the directive. And what we found was that they did participate to a certain extent, and the people who participated overwhelmingly supported the adoption of this kind of supply chain liability instrument. But on the other hand, there weren't very many people who participated from the Global South. The ones who participated were not representative, so businesses in particular were underrepresented. The people from the countries that were most likely to be affected didn't really participate. And we also found that to the extent that there were coalitions of respondents, coalitions of NGOs or companies that got together to draft common responses to the consultation, people from developing countries were not really represented in those coalitions. So at the end of the day, we have significant concerns about the quality of the participation by people from the Global South in the formulation of this directive. And to us, that raises questions about both the legitimacy and the effectiveness of the directive itself.
Cool, very interesting. Thank you for that summary. So you're a US law professor based in New York City, studying the involvement of the Global South into the EU legislation process. What was your motivation for that study?
Basically, all of my research, I would say, is motivated by an interest in the relationship between law on the one hand and economic development on the other hand, and particularly in countries in the Global South. And one of the things that I've concluded over the years is that when we think about which bodies of law influence social and economic outcomes in many countries, but particularly in developing countries, and particularly in smaller developing countries, we have to look beyond just national law, the law of the state in which the people and businesses that we're concerned about are located. And so we have to think about international law to some extent and how that influences what these developing countries do in terms of their national law. And we also have to think about transnational law, which in various ways reaches out and touches the lives of people in a lot of countries. And so in the past, I've studied regulation of foreign bribery, and how that has extraterritorial effects that affect levels of corruption in developing countries, and money laundering laws that affect, say, flows of remittances to developing countries. And now I'm looking at supply chain regulation, which one would also expect to have significant effects on the economic prospects of developing countries. So that's where this study fits into the broader research agenda. Now, of course, here we're looking at not the effects of the legislation, but participation in the formulation of the legislation. But I think that's significant because we're concerned about when legislation has these kinds of effects overseas, the legitimacy of the regulation, and so the extent to which people participate affects the legitimacy. It also affects the quality of the regulation. If the EU lawmakers are unaware of how it's likely to affect people, and then they could actually adopt regulations that have perverse effects, that have the opposite effects of what they have in mind. So for both those reasons, it seems important to study participation by the Global South in the formulation of this kind of transnational regulation to understand, how it's going to affect them and whether those effects are legitimate.
Interesting. Thank you very much. Now that we know about your motivation, can you elaborate a bit more about the empirical method you used to measure the involvement in the legislative process? Because I think your approach is very innovative.
So in this study, we're focusing on just one phase of the legislative process, the consultation that was launched by the European Commission relatively early in the process of formulating this supply chain regulation. And what they did was they opened up an online survey that asked a series of questions about whether people thought the initiative to draft supply chain regulation was a good one for the EU to take on, and also asked the respondents to identify risks that they thought would be associated with this kind of regulation, including whether there would be a risk that it would cause companies to disengage from high-risk jurisdictions. So we're working just with that survey instrument, and because we had very structured responses, structured data, that lent itself to a quantitative analysis. And so this project is very quantitative in the sense that we look at how many people from the South participated, how many people from the South participated of each type, what they said, whether the characteristics, the types of the respondents were correlated in various ways with their responses to either the two key questions. And then we separately had a quantitative analysis of the countries that were most likely to be affected by the regulation, tried to identify the countries where there are significant human rights violations, and compared that list of countries to the list of countries from which the respondents originated to see whether the people from the most affected countries were well represented in our pool. So that kind of quantitative analysis seemed appropriate for the kind of data we had that was elicited by this survey instrument. The most innovative part of the analysis, I think, was actually the text analysis that we did to see whether people were copying one another's submissions. And so we, and I should say, this is joint work with Lauren May and Roy Germano, and Roy is the quantitative person on this on the team, and he used a technique that's been developed by other scholars to try to identify templates that were used by multiple respondents, and that actually proved to be quite illuminating. And so methodologically, we think this is interesting not only in terms of the results but also as test of different ways to analyze this kind of survey data.
Cool. Thank you very much for sharing your research with us today. And to conclude, what do you think policymakers can learn from this? And what are areas that require further research?
At most, policymakers can learn about the specific channel that we studied, specific channel for influencing EU legislation, right? And that channel is the survey that was administered by the European Commission in this case, right? So we do think we can say something about whether the survey yielded responses that are representative of all the affected interests in the Global South. We do not think it generated that kind of result, right? We think that the respondents were not representative, and their views are not necessarily representative of the views of all the affected parties. So the direct policy implication is that we should treat the results of this survey with caution, and we shouldn't necessarily treat them as yielding a lot of useful information about the views of affected parties, or as a means of legitimizing the EU's regulation in this area. But there may be other ways in which people in the Global South participated in the process, and so we can't say anything broader than that. The policy implications also are unclear and require a lot more research, because we would have to study both means of improving this particular mode of eliciting responses from people in the Global South. So maybe there are ways of improving this kind of online survey, you know, by advertising it better, for instance, and recruiting, making more of an effort to recruit participants. So that would be one way to go. Another way is to focus on other channels, other ways in which private actors in the Global South can make their views known, right? Whether it's at the agenda setting stage, whether it's by appearing before the European Parliament, whether it's through making their views known to their own governments and having their governments engage in intergovernmental conversations. Those other channels of influence might be more productive, actually. It might also be more productive to have participation at another stage in the process. For instance, at the implementation stage of the legislation, or even when at the national level, when the EU member states adopt their own legislation implementing the directive. So all of those areas remain open for further research.
Thank you again, Professor Davis, for being with us today. We are very much looking forward to your future research in this area.
Thank you very much, Luca. It's been a pleasure.
And to our vlog viewers, we hope you enjoyed this as much as we did, and we hopefully see you again next time.